Good morning, everybody. Hi there. My name is Kerry Lewis Brown. It's lovely to be back in Copenhagen. Thank you for inviting me back. The title of this presentation is The Next Big Thing, but I think you all know what I'm going to say. I have added a question mark because I don't think any of us really know what the next big thing is. The advertising downturn has forced broadcasters to be very cautious, and we're seeing many recommissions of long-running entertainment shows right over the world. In the UK, the US, and across Europe, the juggernaut formats are still going strong. Here's just a short list. The X Factor, Got Talent, Strictly Come Dancing, Say You Think You Can Dance, Dancing on Ice, bit of dancing there. Survivor, The Apprentice, still huge in the UK. Big Brother, when's that going to end? And Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? So these shows are still dominating prime time, which means there are simply few new prime time slots available. Also, instead of trying out new ideas, broadcasters continue to bring out revivals. The UK has recently seen successful new versions of Family Feud and Mr. and Mrs. In daytime, on the 5th of October, CBS launched a new game show, Let's Make a Deal. And a big hit in France on TF1 this summer is The Price is Right. So it's for these reasons I must be very honest with you and tell you that there are very few true new formats out there. But people are still watching television in big numbers, and some things are working and some are not. So I'm going to talk about some of the themes and show you some clips of what I consider to be interesting new shows from the UK and the US. I'm going to talk a little bit about event TV and how, you know, connecting with your audiences through social media. Reality TV, although I should say that I'm speaking later on this afternoon about factually based reality TV and how reality TV in the UK is seeing a trend back towards its documentary roots. So the reality clips I'll be showing you here will be the more constructed entertainment end of the reality spectrum. Look at some game shows, themes, we're seeing families competing together, physical post-wipeout Japanese-style games, and in fact, I think the session on at the moment is talking about that very subject in the first room. A look at hidden camera prank shows, and an emerging trend in the UK, restaurant reality. So we'll look at all of those. I'll start with event TV. And social media. And event TV, I personally think, is really, really important. With so much to choose from, a live TV experience can really get an audience around the TV set. I'm going to show you a couple of examples which are connected by means of social media. And I hope you don't mind me asking, but how many people are familiar with Twitter? Oh, all of you, brilliant. Okay, do people use it? Are you on Twitter? Do you tweet? Not really. Okay. Do you use it for searching? So, like, does anyone got TweetDeck? No, you are. All right. Okay. Well, let me just say, if you're, well, a little aside on Twitter here, if you have Twitter, download TweetDeck, because then you get columns and you can keep searches going on for particular things. So, say you've launched a new show. Called Starbusters, and you create a search column for Starbusters. Anybody in the whole world, or maybe in Denmark, that's commenting on it will just appear in this real-time feed. So while it's actually on air, it's quite fascinating to see what people are saying about your show. So I'll start then with a clip from a Channel 4 programme that exploited this connection with the audience. It's a little bit squeamish, so if you don't like live surgery, I do apologise. It's called Operation Surgery Live. It aired in May. It was stripped over four nights on Channel 4. And what made it distinctive was that the operations were live, and viewers were able to communicate with the surgeons with phone, email, and Twitter. Let's have a look at the clip. The programme itself had its own Twitter page as well, which fed information as you were watching.
Good evening. Tonight you join us live as a patient undergoes brain surgery while he's still awake. It's happening right now at Southampton General Hospital's Wessex Neurological Centre, and for the next hour we'll be following the operation as it happens, and you can ask the surgeon questions as the night unfolds.
Hello.
Good evening and welcome to the Operation Surgery Live. We're in the auditorium of the Wellcome Collections Museum of Medicine. Now, those of you who were watching last night's open heart surgery will be anxious to know what happened to Frank Wells patient David Payne. Because the operation was more complicated than we initially thought, we had to leave the operation before David's heart was restarted. Here's what happened.
Okay, heart's going up, heart's up, vents out. Can I have the light on? Now we get the air out of the heart. See the bubbles coming out. Clamp up, give us some blood, please. Blow on the lungs. By blowing on the lungs, we displace the air from the lungs into the heart and we can suck it out through the tubes. Cross clamp's coming off, flow down. Cross clamp is off. So now the heart's beginning to receive blood again. You see the heart now is beginning to beat, forceps, as the blood reaches it again. The valve is looking very nice, so everybody can go home happy and not worry about the patient. We've got a very nice result. Second pipes are out, the heart's now working on its own. It's actually working very vigorously. Pulmonary artery pressure's come down nicely, you can feel the difference. So this patient's symptoms will go away completely, straight away after the operation.
I see it going pretty fantastically.
Good.
Cough has disappeared.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm really pleased. It went very well, and we repaired the valve nicely, and it was working perfectly at the end. And the cough has gone because the blood pressure in the lungs dropped right down to normal at the end of the operation. So that was really good. And you're okay?
Yes, thank you.
Good, excellent. You'll be fine. With a bit of luck, we'll have you home early next week.
Excellent news,
sir. All right.
Thank you and your team so
very much. Oh, my pleasure. So I'll see you later on, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
And that's how to mend a broken heart. So, David Payne is now recovering well, and we wish him and his family all the best. So tonight, and this is not for the faint-hearted, we have a live link to Theatre 2 at Southampton General Hospital, where neurosurgeon Mr. Paul Grundy will remove a suspected tumour from a patient's brain. They're already underway. What makes this procedure so special is that the patient will be awake and talking with only local rather than general anaesthetic to block the pain. We'll follow the operation for the next hour. Most importantly, we want your questions to the team. Now, the easiest way is on Twitter using the hashtag SLive so that we can find them. Or you can email us, and there's also a Facebook discussion group. Full details are on the website. That's channel4.com/surgery live.
Okay, so the guy who was having brain surgery actually answered questions while he was having the operation, which was pretty amazing. So at Channel 4, we're really pleased with the impact and the publicity that that the Twitter dimension gave to the show. I was reading a very short paragraph from an article that appeared in Time magazine in June, which was a big article about Twitter in that. The report said, "For as long as we've had the internet in our homes, critics have bemoaned the demise of shared human experience like moon landings and who shot JR cliffhangers. But watch a live mass media event with Twitter open on your laptop and you'll see the futurist had it wrong. We still have shared events, but now when we have them, we're actually having a genuine public conversation with a group that extends far beyond our nuclear family and our next door neighbours." And I did this with the Eurovision Song Contest. I was following it on Twitter, and so people were doing live, amusing blog, mini blog commentary and saying what they thought of the acts. So something to bear in mind. Another social media aspect, of course, is a companion website. This is nothing new, but the BBC's Spring Watch, the annual live wildlife programme, it's massively taken off in the last series. So I want to show you a clip of the actual programme, which explains how they're using the website and the interactive relationship that the programme has with its audience. Thank you. The series has been going since 2005, but gets bigger and bigger every year.
Here we go, and we're going from the calmness of the studio into the guts of the Spring Watch. All these pipes, watch your feet, Tiger. Right, come with me. It's threatened to pour with rain all day, but I think we're going to be lucky. Oh, by the way, that there, that building, that's where the blackbird and the swallow that Chris and Kate were talking about, just in there, very close to where they are. Come on. Right. Watch yourself here. All right. Right. Welcome to Springwatch Central. This is where it all happens. This is full of people. It looks like the Murray Celeste, but it's full of people all working away. This is where we need to go. Red lights, that means we're on air. Right. Mini cam control and story developers. What's that all about? Come on. Hello, team. Right, here we are. This is the nerve centre because all the pictures from the cameras from the bird's nest are all pouring into here. And these poor people, constantly, nearly 24 hours a day, monitoring them. If anything happens, bang, they hit the button. Literally, look at you, finger on the button. And that goes into tomorrow's programme. But also, I don't know if you can see, those four in the middle there, that's the webcams. And for anyone who might actually be watching them now, they're live. And Amy here, you are actually talking to people on the webcam message board. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And what are they saying?
We've had a lot of talk about the lapwing chicks that hatched today.
And two hatched?
Yeah, that's right.
Not the third.
Two hatched. So we're hoping for two more.
Brilliant.
And we've been thinking up names
people
for new
like
chicks too.
Fantastic. Brilliant. So that's what we want to do more of, the sort of thing that Amy's doing, that two-way traffic between you and us. And that's kind of my job. I've got to monitor all the message boards, all the blogs, everything on that website, and try to react and respond to what you're saying. But also, we can ask you for your help. So, first thing, let's get the ball rolling. Britain's strangest nest site. Let's try and do that. Have you got a bird that's nesting in a boot, a Wellington boot, or in a kettle, or in your outside loo? Last year, Simon and I up on Isla, there was a bird, a starling, I think it was, nesting in a tractor that was being used. That is the strangest nest site I've ever seen. So if you've got a strange nest site, let us know about it, please.
Okay, now we'll carry on because we're going to watch a little bit of the website. This can just carry on. Because I want to show you the website because people who wouldn't normally use the internet because it's a bit scary and they rip you off. Happy with this because of the BBC brand. So you can get other footage, discussions, blogs.
Do you know what I'm wondering? I'm wondering whether I should just go and have a peep in the barn and
you could have a peep in the barn and see if it's on the ground because our cameras won't pan around that much. Yeah, I doubt that it will be on the ground, but it's worth a peep if you want. If you fancy a nipping out, you're nipping out to get a nice warm cup of tea. That's what you're doing.
Well, I might.
You're nipping out for a tandoori. You won't even be back.
The camera boys were there.
Were they?
Originally, and they've had a look, and there's a lot of stuff on the ground there as well, so they can't really see. But
well, okay.
There's nothing obvious there anyway.
And these are the webcams of the birds' nests. Apparently birds' nest webcams are huge. There's one at a peregrine falcon in Canada and apparently in Holland. It's lovely, isn't it? So what's happened is that the website has become bigger than the programme. So for Autumn Watch in the autumn, the show which was stripped is now going to once a week and more money is going into development of the web. Four weddings. Okay, this is a reality show. But it's been positioned as having a sort of mini event feel to it. It's, you know, Come Dine With Me. Four weddings is the sort of wedding equivalent. So brides go to each other's weddings and rate them in the way they do on Come Dine With Me. And then the one that gets the best rating gets a dream honeymoon. But it airs on Living. And when it goes out live, you can go on the website in the sort of having your laptop open while you're watching TV kind of way, and rate along with the other brides that are voting. And then there's people comment on what they think, and they put all their rude, unpleasant comments about the bride's dresses on the web. Shall we have a look at the clip? Thank you. It's produced by ITV for Living.
Welcome to Four Weddings, where getting married is a real competition. In each episode, four brides give their frank opinions on each other's big day. They'll be judging the venue, the food, the overall presentation, and of course, the dress. In a tense finale, only the bride whose wedding is judged the best will win the fantasy five-star honeymoon. Let the catfight commence. Coming up on Four Weddings.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, groom, Mr. Brian Rayner!
So when I ask, could I marry Amanda, you say yes.
Yes,
because you know what she was like. I would have booked another ring for tonight because, or I'll probably be kicked out.
Who's heard about that?
Ah, she loves it, look.
The speeches, they did go on for absolutely ages. I'm just shocked at Brian.
Not sure what Brian was trying to do, whether he did it or he finished doing it.
He didn't turn to Amanda and say how beautiful she looked. And if that was me, I would have been really upset.
I'm looking forward for the rest of the night. I'm waiting for the music, so there's dance, dance, dance. Lady in red is dancing with me.
There's nobody here. It's just you and me.
Ready, one.
And after the happy couple's first dance, it's time for our girls to neck a few drinks. As it's Amanda's special day, her night would be incomplete without a little Macarena. And a little cheeky conga to call it a night. All that's left now is for our judges to score Amanda's venue, food, dress and overall presentation.
It's really, really nice. I just got a sense of it being very warm. Everybody that we talked to were very nice to us. We had all the dancing at the end, so it was just fantastic.
But yeah, really lovely venue, country, old manor house. It's really nice that we've all stayed here for a couple of days. So I'd give it an 8 out of 10. But for me, there's not enough flowers and everything for the venue. To me, my wedding was perfect.
It's been very successful and it's been recommissioned. And just a comment from the company behind the social media platform. They say, according to the Internet Advertising Bureau, more than half of digital households go online while watching TV every day. Our platform offers users a social television experience and advertisers a way to increase engagement. That's obviously very important. I'm not going to go into that bit here, but obviously it makes sense to know who your community is and who's watching your show. Right, staying with reality, I'm going to show you another fun, silly reality show called Young, Dumb and Living Off Mum. It's a familiar theme. You've seen Brat Camp and all, you know, the horrible teenagers being, you know, sorted out. But I particularly like this one because the parents get involved. Basically, they get all these really, really, really lazy teenagers and make them do hard work challenges. And then the parents get together, moan about them, and vote one of them off. And the one that's can be seen to benefit most from the experience will be the winner. Let's have a clip. Thank you. It's produced by Monkey Kingdom and it's airing successfully on BBC Three at the moment.
Last week, our 8 adolescent teens and 20-somethings moved into this house in southeast London. After a cold start...
We've run out of hot water, Sean.
How is that possible?
I don't even know.
Hot water, it lives forever. What?
Adulthood was beckoning.
Here we go. Turn it on constantly now.
But it wasn't long before personalities clashed. The first work placement came in the shape of a 12-hour shift working in a hotel. For some, a proper job was all too much.
Yeah, I didn't do it. Yeah, fine. Fair enough, I'll put my hands up to that.
Oh, he's made me so angry. I just want to pour soup all over his head. I would never just be so rude and stuff. People who are trying their best.
It's up to their own parents to watch the footage and decide who will be eliminated. In a break with the rules, the parents decided to eliminate the person who performed most like an adult and voted out Orion. But this week, it'll be the worst behaved who must leave.
This is fashion.
This week, they'll be thrust into the cutthroat world of fashion to test their teamwork abilities as they compete to prove to their parents that they are worthy of a round-the-world trip.
Shut up and listen.
Absolute disaster.
Can any of the remaining seven prove they've got what it takes to be an adult? Back home in Devon, Mum Lynn wouldn't believe her eyes if she saw Danielle in a supermarket shopping for herself.
Me here, same time, same place, peeling spuds every day. It's crazy, and I think people seeing this would think that woman's mad, but I mean, I work, she doesn't. I still come home and do all the washing and ironing. I could come home from work and there was a meal laid out for me on the table. The shock would probably be too much. I'd never recover from it.
Do you want to eat it, even if I did anyway? Because it would be disgusting.
Any little things you think of, she does, because I don't work, I don't cook, I don't clean, don't tidy my room. Don't even go down my own local shop, which is like 2 minutes away.
It's the day of reckoning, and the parents have gathered to watch their little angel's performance at the house and in the workplace. They must decide who will be eliminated from the competition and lose the chance of winning a round-the-world trip. For some, there's a marked improvement in their child's behaviour compared to last week.
I've churned a meeting which I've never done before, and I've cooked.
Quite comfy, actually.
Does everybody want to come in a second and tell you what order you're going on a catwalk?
This bit, and we're making it into just like a boob tube.
With Dina, I was just amazed.
It was something she liked. She was enjoying it. So because she was enjoying it, she was putting everything into it, and it brought the best out of her.
Doan has also turned things around compared to last week's aggressive outburst. His performance this week is verging on angelic.
I mean, for Doan to actually have paint sprayed on him and a great big fan and walk out in front of 200 people, that was just something I would never, ever have dreamed of.
And I think from last week, they've realised that, you know, they can't just start being just themselves. They need to put in the effort to help others.
I think it's shown me is that we need to set our kids more of a challenge in life. Yeah. They seem to rise to the challenge.
Indeed. So that's doing well. If you're wondering who the voiceover was, it's Robert Webb from Mitchell and Webb from Peep Show. And the format's being sold by Two-Way Traffic, if you're interested. Another reality show recently launched in the States in the dancing arena is Dance Your Ass Off, which is rather similar to Mentorn's show from last year called Diet on the Dance Floor, in which overweight contestants try to lose weight through dance routines. Each episode concludes with a weigh-in and a dance-off. So we'll have a look and just think, So You Think You Can Dance meets The Biggest Loser. It's been airing on Oxygen.
Up in the beginning, but you kept going. That's what I love. And you know what? If you mess up, keep going. And that's what you did. I'm gonna give you a 7.
I love Bring Me Back Down Memory Lane to the 80s because I had some fun.
I love that you threw yourself into it. I love that even though you weren't looking at him all the time, you connected. You gave her great choreography. And I love the ending. I love that you threw him around like cheap lawn furniture, honey. Okay, and I am also going to give it a 7. Really enjoyed. Really enjoyed. Not the most technical of routines, but very entertaining. All my favorite moves, the running man, the Roger Rabbit, the snake. I mean, it was great. Don't worry about being the funny girl. You are an entertainer, and I definitely want to see more, so 7.
All right, so 7, so your average score is a 7. At the beginning of the week, you weighed in at 174.9 pounds. Your current weight is 9.5 pounds. That's 5.43% of your body weight. And when we add up those numbers, you get a total score of 12.43. Carla, you are in first place. You are number one on the leaderboard. Carla, you definitely danced your ass off.
So that's been quite successful for Oxygen. So as I said at the beginning, dance remains one of the hottest subjects for reality talent formats. Say You Think You Can Dance has just ended really strongly in the US. ABC has commissioned Let's Dance, which is the one that the BBC did, which for charity, which is where celebrities reenact famous dance routines. And Sky One has just commissioned something called Just Dance, which is sort of X Factor type dance competition from Princess and Shine. And that one will feature auditions, so the people in the street that have come for the auditions will join in a mass choreographed dance routine. And that's supposed to go out on Sky One in January 2010. Okay, dating. It's still quite a tricky subject to get right. Often the traditional studio, just dating for fun formats haven't worked too well, certainly not in the UK. And the trend has been for more real life dating, older people that are genuinely looking for a relationship. ABC in the States recently launched Talpa's Dating in the Dark, which sounds trashy because they date literally in the dark. And then they get to choose who they'd like to meet, and then they meet them face to face once they've decided. But it's quite good, actually. I'll show you the promo, you can see what you think. This is Talpa's own promo of the show.
Inside this house, an unusual dating experiment is about to take place. Can you fall in love with someone you've spoken to, smelt, felt, and maybe even tasted, but never seen?
It really is black in here.
And what happens when you finally do see them? Behind these doors, three single men and three single women go on dates, share thoughts, feelings, and secrets, all in complete darkness. Will they find love purely based on their personalities, or do looks really matter? All this
beauty. Am I a 10? No. Am I a hobbit? No.
Dating in the Dark. Three single men, three single women date in complete darkness. The infrared cameras see everything they don't see. They meet up every day. First is a group.
Guys, you could pull out the chairs for us.
If we knew they were there, we would have done it.
Then one-on-one with their personal favorite, getting to know each other better and better. All dates are discussed in detail afterwards.
Did you kiss? You kissed. You totally kissed. You totally kissed.
I knew you kissed. I was there.
Causing jealousy and rivalry. For 4 days, the men and women live in separate wings of the house with no chance of seeing each other outside the dark room. To stimulate the singles' imaginations, we give them a clue about each other, something that reveals information about the single.
Oops, he's got pit stains.
At the end of the episode, they pick one person, the one they might have fallen in love with. But before they get to see each other, a sketch artist puts their imagination on paper. Will reality match the image they had in mind?
This is what she's expecting. Anything less than that's going to be a disappointment.
What happens when we finally turn on the lights? Do they want to get to know each other even better?
I don't know. He's not at all what I imagined him to look like.
Or do they decide to walk away? And do looks prove to be more important after all? Eliminations, no cash prizes. Dating in the dark. A fair shot at finding true love.
It's all fun until somebody gets an eye knocked out.
And it was surprisingly well received by the critics for a show like that in the States, because they're normally a bit snooty about reality shows. Upcoming relationship shows in the US, the networks have commissioned quite similar things. CBS have commissioned Arranged Marriage, in which a family chooses a partner for a member of the family, and then they have a blind wedding. Fox has got something very similar called I Married a Stranger. And then I'm sure you've all heard about Marriage Ref, in which judges and celebrities will analyse a couple's relationship in a sort of agony aunt kind of way. Moving on to game shows, we've all seen the success of Hole in the Wall and Wipeout, and of course Big in Japan, which is being talked about here, and the Japanese influence game shows generally. It does seem that viewers are enjoying straightforward, silly, escapist fun. So I'm going to show you a clip of CBS's new reality show called There Goes the Neighbourhood, which launched on Sunday. I've grabbed it off YouTube, so apologies for the quality. A block of houses is fenced off from the world, and the families have to compete in challenges and then eliminate one of the families.
In this suburban Atlanta neighborhood, there's a TV experiment going on.
All the participants in this show are neighbors and close friends.
We've seen each other, we've waved to each other, we know each other.
These eight families have been cut off from the rest of the world by a 20-foot wall surrounding their neighborhood.
I see it being very, very different than anything that we've ever seen on television.
You know, having eight families behind this huge wall where we all can't leave could get a little crowded.
No phones, no TV, no internet. It's their own private world.
Eight families, one large gated community where nobody leaves. Sounds a little scary.
Each week, one family will be eliminated based on the results of some competitions as teams battle for a grand prize of $250,000.
This show does give new meaning to the term keeping up with the Joneses. When your neighbors win a prize, you want to win a better prize.
And the families who have signed on are ready for the challenge.
Our family is a bunch of entertainers.
We're the Chandlers, and we're so hot.
Haley and I have been together for 15 years, just the two of us, and we know one another really well. We know how the other thinks.
The obvious, we're two females, makes us different from the other families. I would say that I hope the TV viewers would rally around us. If in hearing, you know, what I had to say as a single mom, in a new relationship and the financial hardships that I'm going through. I know there's millions of viewers out there that are going through the same thing.
We've gone through a number of strategies within our family as far as what we're going to do when times get tough, how we're going to handle things, how we're going to compete. So we have prepared for this for quite some time.
I think that the Boussières are pretty much a traditional family. I work. Susan is a stay-at-home mom, doing a real great job raising the kids.
I'm in charge.
You know, just doing all of those things that a good wife and mother would do.
We, the Johnston family, we're pretty smart. We've all got pretty high IQs. Not that we flaunt it, but we do like to take advantage of it whenever we can.
So I think other families may fear that.
The best part? Well, unlike other shows, these families don't scatter when the competition ends. They go back to being neighbors, a formula that could bring on even more fireworks after the competition is over.
Because someone's going to have $250,000, and the rest of us won't. So someone's going to have a better lawnmower and everything like that for a while.
I don't think, in the end, that our neighborhood will be the same.
So it's quite similar in theme to The Great American Road Trip, which aired recently on NBC and was not very successful. The first episode aired on Sunday, as I said, on CBS, and did okay. It did all right, so we'll see how that goes. CBS has also commissioned a pilot for a sort of post-Wipeout format called The Whole 19 Yards, which is a bit like Wipeout in a studio. So you have to undergo challenges in order to get to the buzzer to answer the general knowledge question. That's airing in Spain at the moment quite well, and it's been picked up by ITV in the UK for a pilot. And then the BBC is piloting on the 5th of September something called Run For It, which is where you have to answer general knowledge questions while you're running on a travelator. So there's a lot of like physical things going on while you have to do questions and challenges. So I'm going to show you a clip. It's actually a sales tape from MIP TV, Japanese, called Move This, It's Yours. It's in this kind of area. Contestants are given big prizes at the beginning of the show, and in order to keep them, they have to literally move across an obstacle course with the prizes. Thank you. It's only a sort of mock sales tape. It hasn't been produced yet.
Move This, It's Yours. In this new game, a studio full of great prizes awaits our contestants. They're theirs for the taking. Telephones, DVD players, laptop computers, guitars, and appliances. The catch? They have to move it across a challenging obstacle course before they can claim it. And it won't be easy. There are collapsible walls, slippery logs over cold water, and high pyramids to challenge our contestants. Even a prize that seems easy to move has been made much more challenging to carry. Here's how it's played. Three teams of friends, families, or celebrities compete. To get things started, each team chooses one member to move as many objects as they can from one end of the course to another. The winner earns their team 10 minutes in the course. The runner-up gets 8 minutes. Third place, only 6. Next, it's time to take it to the obstacle course. One by one, each team gets a turn. Each player must perform a specific role to get their team over the obstacles and across the finish line before time is up. It's brains, brawn, and teamwork. It's time to get carried away with Move This, It's Yours.
Okay, so that could be quite fun. It's been picked up for development in the UK by Zigzag, so keep an eye on that one. Recently launched on Saturday nights in the UK is another show from Talpa called Guesstimation, in which groups compete to win a prize by guessing the outcome to surveys and unusual challenges. Let's have a look at that. This is, again, Talpa's promo for the show.
Guesstimation, an exciting new show all about guessing and estimating the outcome of intriguing surveys, sensational challenges, astounding acts, extreme stunts, and hilarious candids. What's your guess? Can she resist temptation? On Guesstimation, two stands of candidates take each other on for fun, for the honor, and in the hope of winning a few bucks. Each stand is filled with 100 people with one thing in common. They might come from the same city, share the same profession, or go to the same sports club, for example. Captained by a celebrity or a fellow player, the audience members try to guesstimate the answers to many different questions with the use of their own voting console. In percentage questions, the stand's average answer closest to the correct answer is what counts. In other questions, the most correct answers from each tribune is what banks the cash. The surveys are the backbone of the show, revealing surprising facts about your country and your fellow countrymen, like how much money did we all have to pay on speeding fines last year? Supported by the most diverse guesstimation questions on amazing guest appearances. From how many meters can this fire eater set someone alight? Confronting and informative stunts. How many of these 54 people will be hit if this car is forced to make an emergency stop while doing 80 kilometers an hour? And sensational challenges. This celeb has never even seen the inside of a caravan before, let alone towed one. So how long will he take to finish our challenging track? Which stand will ultimately win? The amount of money that they have managed to accumulate plus the amount that the other tribune has earned is divided fair and square between the 100 candidates. Guesstimation, the ultimate guessing game. Oh, and by the way, remember this little girl? What's your guess?
So that's on air on BBC One on Saturday nights at the moment. It's a sort of lower key. It's two families rather than the big audience groups. But it's rating reasonably well. I'm going to show you a couple of more traditional studio game shows now. Starting with ITV, they have a daily 5 o'clock slot. Endemol's Divided was in it, and they've been piloting a few things in it recently. One of them is a show that I personally really like called The Chase. I think it would also work in prime time. The idea is it's contestants take on a quiz expert, and he's sort of given a persona that's a bit sort of, you know, menacing and scary. And the idea is that there's a big game board and you earn more money if you're closer to where the chaser is on the game board. So if he's like one space behind you, it's obviously harder, because if he gets a question right and you get it wrong, then he catches up with you. So you can earn less money by having more sort of lives in between you and the chaser. It's obvious when I show you the clip. They did a 2-week pilot of that and it went quite well, and I suspect we might see it again. Look out for that at MIPCOM. That's with ITV. Let's have a look. Thank you.
Let's see what you've put. Okay, you've put Jewel. The correct answer is...
Well played.
Well played, says Driss. Let's move you a step closer to home. You're doing really well. You're hanging on by the skin of your teeth. Let's see what the chaser put. He also put Jewel and remains one step behind you. Next question. In which year did the USA launch its first space station, Skylab? Was it A, 1967? Was it B, 1970? Or was it C, 1973? Let's see what you've put. You put 1973.
I think the 60s was more the moon race.
Yeah.
I think after they did the trip to the moon, Skylab went up.
The correct answer is 1973. Fantastic logic. OK, you're a step closer to home. Oof. Ian, let's see what the chaser put. He's followed you all the way.
Yeah.
You've maintained that one step ahead of him.
Yeah.
Okay, here we are. You've gone for the gamble. I admire you for that. £20,000, there it is, right in front of you. One more correct question, and you're in the final chase. Here's the next question. How many points is an M tile worth in Scrabble? Is it A, 2? Is it B, 3? Or is it C, 4? Let's see what you've put.
My rationale for that, and my mother was probably turning in her grave now because she was a Scrabble champion.
Oh, right.
I just got a feeling that's what it was.
You're trying to
all
remember.
All those years ago.
OK, M, we're hoping, yeah, was worth 3 points in Scrabble. Yes! Well played. Put it there. There's your money as well, going straight into the prize fund. £20,000. You're through to the final chase. That was a great chase, Chaser.
Well played, sir.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I think that's quite nice. If you did it in daytime, and if it was ITV, probably will, you would have a different chasers during the run. But in prime time, it might work better just to have one individual as the chaser. I'm going to show you another studio game show now called Know It Alls on BBC Two, and you're going to go, oh, it's so British, which it is. But what the reason I want to show you is that when you're watching it, think how you could adapt it. It's very sort of highbrow and a sort of the Battle of Hastings type of thing. But basically, contestants are given a theme, a subject, and they have an hour in which to learn it. And then they have to give like a 45-second presentation about what they've learned to this panel of experts. And they're not just judged on the facts, they're judged on how well they present it. So it's sort of thing you could apply to perhaps, you know, different subject areas like popular culture. Let's have a look, thank you. It's a bit different from the usual Q&A.
Time now for our second know-it-all expert, Tessa Dunlop, who's our authority on history. 45 seconds on what topic, Tessa?
I would like James' team to talk about the Battle of Hastings.
James's team, whoever's going to come up, please join me here. Ben, welcome to Know-It-Alls. You're an online editor for a national newspaper, but your real passion in life is the French Enlightenment.
Yes.
What is the French Enlightenment?
French Enlightenment is just something I got into by being interested in science and just tracing ideas back and back.
What period are we talking about?
Of the 17th century, 18th century.
We need to perhaps go a little bit further back than that, because you're going to tell us about the Battle of Hastings. Mm-hmm. You have 45 seconds on that subject. Your time starts now.
The Battle of Hastings was fought in 1066 between the English Anglo-Saxon king Harald Hardrada and William I of Normandy. Prior to the battle, Harald took his forces up to confront the Norwegian invasion in Stamford Bridge. He then marched them back overnight to confront William I's army, which had landed down south. They met at Hastings. Harald's housecarl forces formed a shield wall on the hilltop, whereupon they resisted attacks throughout the day from William's forces. William's forces were composed of archers and knights, and at one stage, William was thought to be dead, but he reappeared spectacularly. His forces then lured the British, or the English Anglo-Saxons, out of position and were able to attack them and decimate them on that spot. The whole event was recorded in the Bayeux Tapestry, which was commissioned by William I, who became William the Conqueror.
Time's up! Very impressive indeed. One in the eye for Ben, Tessa.
Congratulations, Ben. Key facts, 1066, the Bayeux Tapestry, and William the Conqueror. That colonist of genius gets you 5 points. You say that Harald had to confront the Norwegian forces at Stamford Bridge. Correct. I'm going to give you a point. You then cite Harald hard pushed, having to make it down to Hastings overnight. You try doing that overnight, but the allusion to these beleaguered troops gets you a point. Once you get to Hastings, you come into your own. Harald's housecarls, you mention his forces, their defensive shield wall up on a ridge. Well done, attention to detail, 2 points. All day the battle went on, another point. Then, citing the Norman troops, you say archers, you say knights. Good man, they were a great fighting force. Then on to William. Oh, was he dead? Oh no, the Norman's on the back foot. Good, good stuff, another point. The feigned retreat, was that the reason why they won? Much academic debate, another point. Then all the event recorded in the Bayeux Tapestry, inspired by William, you say. No, his half-brother Odo, no matter, because you knew it was Norman-inspired, thus Norman propaganda. I say that you're the master of strategy. You have nerves of steel. You are fit to conquer know-it-alls with 15 points.
Fabulous start. 15 points. Back to base.
See what I mean? That plays early evening on BBC Two, and it's doing quite well. Sort of spin-off of game shows, Prank Hidden Camera, I'm going to show you a children's show, which launched recently, weekend mornings on BBC Two, called Undercover Dads. And it reminds me of the sort of Hyder in the House type show. In this particular format, dads dress up in disguise as mega nanny, mysterious mega nanny, and then come to the house, play games with the children, and try to win prizes for them. And the whole thing's blown if the children recognise that it's their dad. So let's have a look. I think it's really cute.
So what did you think of Megan, honey?
She was really cool. She had really good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a really good brain.
She's creative.
She has a really good brain and she's creative. That's lovely. But we mustn't forget your parting gift from Megan Annie, the Megan Annie Top Secret DVD.
Yeah.
I have put it into your DVD player. Do you want to watch it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's have a look here.
Hello, children. It's Megan Annie here.
And it's also your dad. Because me and your mum have been playing the ultimate prank on you.
Oh, yes, kids, for the last 2 days, your devilishly devious dad has been undercover, disguised as the rule-breaking...
Colours on the block! Colours on the block!
Occasionally weird...
Plants make me happy!
Super sneaky... But never dull... Mega Nelly!
Zanzibar!
It was brilliant fun spending all that time with you as Meg and Ellie and doing all the challenges. You were both absolutely brilliant and I'm really, really proud of you.
He's disguised himself as a woman, got you to trash his own room...
Bring them everywhere!
...and very nearly got busted.
Referee!
But he did it all to spend more time with you.
I learned so much about you, what you wanted me to change and the impressions that you did of me. I learned a lot about our relationship too, so I'm going to really try and change. And do the things that you want me to do.
So cool, though.
And we've won loads of prizes. Woohoo!
Could he be the coolest dad in the world? Probably.
Did you suspect anything at any point?
The farmyard game. Mm-hmm. It says, I smelt her breath and it really smelt like dad's breath.
I love that. Wow, that's really random, Louise. Yeah. So, how cool is your dad?
Really cool. I love this program. So cool.
I like that. And that format's distributed by DRG. Make My Day, some of you may remember, first aired in 2001 in the UK on Channel 4. We were talking about revivals. And it's just launched in the US on TV Land. It's a format in which hidden cameras follow an unsuspecting participant for the day, and there's lots of setups where they get to meet celebrities, and it's like their dream, unbelievable day, and they don't realise what's happening. So it's quite a lot of elaborate pre-planning. Let's have a look at a clip. This is the US version.
Today, we've watched John Castellano's every move with 50 hidden cameras. He helped a damsel in distress.
I'm gonna be so late.
And was rewarded with concert tickets.
Do you like aircraft, dude?
Won some cash and a bowl off.
Spent $1,000 a frame.
And spent quality time with two of his all-time heroes. Whoa! A Super Bowl-winning New York Giant.
A lot of wise guys look like.
And a star of The Sopranos. Now, he's just arrived at our fake commercial shoot and settles in to watch the action.
3, 2, 1. Come to New York and see that we're a happy, friendly, and helpful community. Right, Big Pussy from Sopranos?
No. It's Vincent Pastore.
Okay, cut.
Niels is blowing his lines on purpose.
Sorry.
All according to plan.
Come here, Otto. Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
Vincent now tells the director that we need to replace Niels.
Come here, let me show you something.
Permanently.
See that copy there?
No.
Just read it. Come to New York and see that we're a happy, friendly, and helpful community. Right, Vincent Pastore from the critically acclaimed series, The Sopranos.
You got it.
How you doing, John?
How you doing, Vinny?
Right, and when you're with me, you're family, right?
Right. Ooh.
Hey, you think Vinny's hands are as soft as Imani's?
John, I love you.
I love you, too.
You want to do this?
No, I don't want to take the
man's. Oh, no, no, it's not a problem at all.
He's sorry to see Niels go, but John won that role fair and square.
All right, now you're going to shoot a scene with Imani Toomer, because right, this guy has now contracted you for this whole commercial, okay? You good?
Hey, I'm in. In New York, the buildings aren't the only Giants. Hey, isn't that New York Giants wide receiver Imani Toomer?
Sure is. Wait, you
got... Okay, cut.
And I'm off to win more Super Bowls. All right.
Cut. That's perfect. Go, 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 go. Beautiful.
Come to New York, and we promise you won't forget about it.
God.
Yeah, you're having a ball. You're beating me up.
Can we get the replay on the screen, please?
John thinks he's been the star of his very first commercial, but he's about to learn the truth. And not just that he snores. From the moment John woke up, he's been the star of his very own hidden camera show, where we've made all his dreams come true.
How'd you do this? You'd let them do this to me.
And all his friends and family came together to celebrate him.
So I think that's got a real warmth. I like that. Right, my final theme is what I call restaurant reality. We're noticing a strong trend in the UK for TV concepts about pop-up restaurants in which amateur chefs design, cook, and serve restaurant-style meals for paying customers from their own homes. Shows like Come Dine With Me and MasterChef and Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares have been really, really popular, and I think people are looking for new formats in this area. We'll have a quick look at MasterChef first. This has been running for many years in the UK. I'm sure you're all quite familiar with it. It's a competition to find the best amateur chef in the country. It airs in the UK daily. It's an elimination show, and the final always gets a lot of attention. And it recently launched in Australia, where they gave it more of a sort of X Factor, the auditions, a sort of bigger scale, more of a sort of traditional reality TV type feel to it. It's gone through the roof. It's been absolutely massive there. So I'll show you a clip from the Australian version.
Australia's first MasterChef has to have that kind of genius that sometimes fails and sometimes succeeds amazingly.
This is the most important dish you'll ever cook in your life. Cook like the world's watching.
I am too strong to battle mere mortals. Bring me giants.
This is MasterChef, the search for Australia's best amateur chef.
Welcome to MasterChef Australia.
This is where it all counts, yeah?
Around the country, more than 7,500 people applied.
This is now the opportunity for me to change my life.
All convinced cooking is their calling.
Food is more than just eating for me. It's a way of life.
To become MasterChef, they'll have to prove their passion.
I don't think I could love food more than I do now. It already is an inferno in my heart.
And their skill.
And I reckon that's the best dish of the night.
To Australia's three toughest food judges.
This is where it gets serious.
Their decisions will make or break dreams.
It should be a prison for people like you.
Your food's diabolical.
I'm afraid the journey ends here.
This is a real opportunity, and I don't want to go home.
This determines really where my life heads.
It could be the beginning of a new life for me.
This is your chance. Someone here is MasterChef.
I would be happy to pay money for that. Well done.
Over 12 intense weeks, they will learn more about cooking.
Well done. Oh, that's great.
And themselves than they ever thought possible.
This is what we're here to do. This is the exciting part of MasterChef.
I'm 10,000,000% driven to do this.
I wouldn't be here if I wasn't here to win this competition.
You ready? Yeah! Come on, then!
They'll face amazing challenges. Cook head-to-head with the country's most famous chefs. Create five-star dishes against incredible odds. Kitchen dreams will become reality.
Yes!
It's the finding moments that stay with you for your life. This is one of those moments.
Who will be Australia's first ever MasterChef?
So there you go. I know who is. MasterChef's being distributed by Shine Reveille, so you can be sure we'll see it in other territories over the next couple of years, I have no doubt. I'm just going to give you a little roundup of these pop-up restaurant shows that are in development. It's quite extraordinary, actually, how many formats there are in this area. ITV are doing something called Secret Diner, featuring members of the public opening their homes to 30 diners for a single night. That's it, pilot stage. Virgin One has commissioned Restaurant in Our Living Room, in which two couples compete on the same night to open a restaurant and attract diners. That's distributed by Target. BBC Daytime have got something with a working title of Instant Restaurant, which is very, very similar to the previous one. Network 7 Australia, who did My Restaurant Rules, they're doing My Kitchen Rules, in which teams of two amateur chefs will prepare and serve dishes in their own kitchens at home, competing on behalf of not only themselves, but also their state. And, if that wasn't enough, we also have Restaurant in Your Home, which is a pilot by ZigZag for BBC Two. And this is not a competition. This is where a couple who do this for a living, they've got, you know, they're well known for having a restaurant in their home. They're teaching other couples how to do it. So it's like a, how-to show, more factual show rather than a competition. But I've got a clip of that to show you. This is the first one we've got hold of. Thank you. Restaurant in Your Home, distributed by DRG.
Do you love cooking? Have you always wanted to have your own restaurant but been too afraid to take the gamble? Why not start a restaurant in your own home? Mike and Tina Pemberton are the proud owners of a Michelin-recommended restaurant in their back room.
The way we've run this restaurant from the beginning is entertaining the guests like they're our real friends. And the only difference is they're paying us at the end.
With a place in both the UK Good Food and Michelin Guides, gourmet lovers are flocking to this sleepy corner of England.
Amazing.
As always.
And now Mike and Tina are going to show you how to repeat their success.
You've got to be perfect. You can't be mediocre in any way.
Mike and Tina have a love of food and entertaining.
It's very rewarding. It's a completely unique experience.
I just love food. I have a passion for food. I get really excited.
All they ask of their new restaurateurs is the same enthusiasm.
You've got to have two very sociable people that are party people, really.
Each week, Mike and Tina will show one couple everything they need to do to create their own award-winning restaurant. They will teach them the secrets of gourmet cooking, help them create the perfect menu, physically convert their home, and make sure the locals flood through the doors.
Yes. Have you met Daniel?
Guest experts such as architects or interior designers will help create the perfect setting. But if you can't stand the heat, can you handle the kitchen?
Oh, for goodness sake, I told you half an hour.
Well, I'm very sorry, it's on the menu now. I'm not
You're ignorant.
Whatever's gone on, you have to come down and be very professional.
When opening day arrives, Mike and Tina will leave the new restaurant owners to fend for themselves. How will they cope without their helping and steadying hand?
People don't realise what goes into just preparing a meal for a dozen people. It's like 4 days' work.
Will the guests love the food, or will there be disasters in the kitchen?
That's not cooked.
You do want to try it? You try it.
No, just get one out.
God.
If you're determined to be successful, you will. You'll work it out.
I can show other people how basically they can do the same thing in their own homes with their own friends.
Restaurant in Your Home. Can you create the perfect dining experience under your roof?
Okay, so over the next few months, we'll see which of all those many formats takes off. Okay, to conclude then, although I hope you'll agree there's some nice shows there, I don't think there's a brand new killer format. Broadcasters are still looking at revivals, especially in game shows. Consider whether a format lends itself to a social media application, especially Twitter. Dancing is still hot. The original dance formats are still going strong, and there are a couple of new ones. The dating trend is for real-life relationship shows. In entertainment, viewers are enjoying silly escapist fun, and there are a lot of new physical-challenged formats, such as The Whole 19 Yards and Move This, It's Yours. And following the success of Come Dine With Me and MasterChef, there are several restaurant reality formats in development. If I'll be around for about an hour outside before the next session if anybody wants to grab me, and if you want details of distributors or you want more information about any particular show, or I'm very happy to talk about Twitter. I like talking about Twitter. My business cards are here if you prefer to email me a question. And very good luck with the autumn season. Thank you. Thank you.